2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Who is in charge of scripture? Or we should use our Bibles today? Don't have time. Chapter 3, verse 1. I will read. Now there was no war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul. That's it. Meanwhile, you need to know that the person in power here was Saul. He was not David. The king at the time of this war, meanwhile, this is the guy that occupied the throne and had access to every arsenal, every equipment, every weapon in that kingdom. And the Bible recorded that he grew weaker and weaker in spite of his leverage. And him and his household, you can leave the mic the way it was. I will manage. The house of Saul. See, David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. So a boy that was on the street struggling for his head and finding a hiding place because he was under intense attack by the king. In that warfare, the Bible recorded that he gained momentum. He was very strong in that warfare, and his strength prevailed against the strength of the king. I'm raising an issue here. There are many differences between David and Saul. Maybe I should tell you one. One of them is that Saul was anointed without being discipled. He was not discipled. What Samuel felt was that after he became king, he would still be coming back for discipleship session. Remember, there was a discipleship meeting that they had, and because there was no time, the people were already crying for king. There was no time for discipleship. So he said, you know what? I'm going to release you now. This is a man that came to his father in the Lord, so to speak. He said, you know what? Because of what God needs to do now, there's no time. I'm going to release you with the anointing. And he anointed him and sent him and said, on your way, you will come in the midst of prophets, and then the anointing, the Spirit of God will rest on you, and you'll be turned into another man. In his plan, after he has come into power, he will still be coming back for discipleship, but that is not what happened. But the other man, after being anointed, the discipleship process began. Capacity building. Somebody say capacity building. The discipleship process began. So he was not permitted to sit on the throne until he had built capacity. So his adventure, moving around, dodging his head, in the middle of crisis, he was facing crisis. David is one man that faced crisis all his life, and there is no one that met him weak. Crisis is a time of crisis, a personal crisis, is where God equips you. It's not necessarily Satan or the man. Many of those crises is where men are made. Where men are made. I don't want to digress to justify this point, but take it or leave it. You leave it fine. If not, we'll continue. There's no problem. You don't have to believe what I say. You have your Bible. Amen. Are you still with me? So David will have to undergo discipleship before he will ascend the throne. And Samuel was discipling him. And in the midst of that, Samuel had discipled him. I don't want to go into all that. But what was the essence of this war? Listen, what was the essence? You want to give me that mic? I will still hold this one. So I don't trust changing mic again.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Why this one instead of this one?
Amen.
Should I give you this one? There's another one there in case you feel me.
Amen. Amen.
So, what was the reason of the what was the reason for the war? Because if you observe, Saul and David, they were in the same kingdom, they were in the same church, they were in the same. They had an external enemy, the Philistines. So these two were in the same camp. They were in the house of Israel. But in the house of Israel, there had been a segmentation, the house of David and the house of Saul, and they were fighting. What was the cause of the fight? The cause of the fight is also the cause of the fight today. How many of you know that there is war going in the church? A segment is fighting another segment, and some people are growing weaker and weaker, and some are growing stronger and stronger. And the people growing weaker and weaker are the ones that have the crowd. But let's not go there. They represent, many of them represent the soul. But let's not go there. What was the reason for the war? The reason for the war is that God was pioneering a new order. The old order has just ended, but many people were caught up in that old order. So this new order, the people embraced it, they became a threat. Let me bring it down to your this thing. What's going on is that the era of Pentecostalism has just ended, and the era of the kingdom has been pioneered. But many people have been stuck with Pentecostalism. They cannot afford to exist without attending church service. They cannot afford large gatherings. They cannot afford. Meanwhile, God has shut it down. Because the way you have done church over the years has not produced the required result. What it has produced is that it freeze. Yes. It has produced people that have been in church for 20 years and they were not disciples. Who told you were born to be an usher? Or you are born to be in choir? You know the Pentecostals, they don't want to hear this thing. There's no man that was born to be a choir member. My friend, this is not the time where all you do is choir rehearsal. Yes, you can sing in choir, but this is the time when the choir member is a warrior. It's not just people gathering to drink for one back. It is a time when the whole church is equipped for the kind of thing David was pioneering. He was equipping the whole army with sword. Saul only had him and Jonathan having a sword. Other people had to come to them in order to feel anointed.
is not the time where you gather millions of people and they don't have capacity. Millions of people that God cannot use. Millions of people that are not useful to God and His program. If you say it, it seems as if people should not sing in choir again. It seems people should not. You can do those things. But we are saying that the time, that era where all you can do is ushering, as an usher, you have not discovered that you are a solution. While you are playing your keyboard, because I used to be playing keyboard, in that your keyboard, yes, but you are a solution. You are called into a generation. You have a responsibility. You have a mandate. And your purpose in life is not to sit in that church and usher for 25 years. And when Satan shows up, you have nothing. You have no equipment. You have nothing to tackle him with. That's the problem with Pentecostalism. We raised Christians for years that God cannot use. I hope you know that many of the vices in society are traced to Christians. You heard that somebody raped somebody. Who is the man that raped a girl? His name is Andrew. His name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the man that raped. Who is the guy that went for armed robbery? His name is Joseph. Are you not seeing it? He's a Christian. Who is the one that is the capon of the court? The one that is leading the court is in campus. What is his name? His name is David. I hope you know, in these rape cases, you hardly hear Muhammad, even though they are there. You hardly hear many of these. This is what we have raised. And now, you know, even at the birth of Pentecostalism, what was in vogue then was the Reformation, the Protestant movement. It had grown. And when we came to the end of the Protestant movement, God was betting a new move. And the Pentecostals, I mean, the Protestant reformers, the reformers, Martin Luther King, that's what is part of what he achieved in his fight. Eh? And they refused to accept the new thing that God was doing. So they began to fight. They began to fight Pentecostalism, and the rise of Pentecostalism began to fight it. They began to fight it. So there was this war again. But of course, Pentecostalism prevailed and has lasted this long. Now, this new war is that there is a change into the kingdom, and in kingdom business, we don't need to sit in church. Yes, in kingdom business, we don't answer. We are not only powerful in church, we are not only anointed in church, we are not only useful in church, we are useful in the world. That's why, if you assess Jesus by the kind of ministry he did, you think he's a failure, because his biggest crowd was 500 at any point in time. It's because he didn't have church. That's why he goes to the mountain to go and teach. I'm not saying we won't have venue. Of course, we have one. But what I'm telling you is that Jesus did not gather people in a place, confine people within a place. His ministry was on the streets. This is the time for ministry on the streets. Now, I will press this thing deeper much later. There are a few things, just in case you are not aware of what I'm saying yet. With time, in subsequent sessions, we will have time to drive it deeper. In the kingdom business, many things you find in church as you know it, they are not emphasized. For instance, if you check many of the preachers, many of the new move that God has pioneered, Revival Hub inclusive, that has begun to project kingdom, trying to pattern everything according to kingdom. That is not being patterned according to church. You discover that, for example, among many things you discover is that they don't hold services on Sundays. I don't want to mention others, but look where you see there's a new movement that don't hold services on Sundays. And it's not as if it's bad to hold service on Sunday. It just shows you that God is doing a new thing. God is pioneering a new thing. But many people cannot let go, because this old one has become big, like Saul. He has become big. But David is small. But yet, it is with David that the anointing for the new move is lying up. So Saul begins to fight David. Because if Saul will be relevant in the new move of God, he needs to come down from his high horse and humble himself. He cannot. That's why Jesus said, it will be easy for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. The eye of a needle is the smallest gate in the gates of Jerusalem. It's the smallest one. There are about 12 gates there, and there's that hole. It's kept there because for the sake of not shutting down the whole city, around 12 midnight, they shut down all the middle gates and made that one they call the eye of the needle, so that in the midnight cannot have access to the main gate, but you have to come down and crawl through that gate. So if perhaps you're a king that came back, the city is not going to open the gate because you're a king. You have to come down from your high horse, bring down your camel and crawl inside. If you have already become big in the previous things God has done, to enter the new one, Jesus is saying you must come down from your high horse. Not many people are willing to do that. So they become irrelevant. And they start crying. No, you must stop the Antichrist. You must stop. They are now trying to stop what Jesus himself has said will happen. They are organizing you for prayer to stop what Jesus has said. Instead of preparing you, building capacity, what has happened over the last 25 years, over the last 30 years, is that you guys, you are not equipped for the last days. They were busy building you up to get more money. They were busy building you up to build more businesses. Why those things are good? You do not have the spiritual substance to carry what was coming. And so now the chips are down. You now want to extend. Be looking at it. What did I say? Are you still with me over there? Okay. Let me move because of time. Instead of praying for prophecy to go away, start preparing for what prophecy say will happen. Because there is wisdom, there is strategic perspective, and there is prophetic perspective. Many people knew that the lockdown was end time move, but they did not know what to be doing after the lockdown. That's why after the lockdown, they all went back to what they are doing. Now looking like there wants to be another lockdown. And many people have fallen confused. Confusion. Christians, they are social media, posting, circulating. They don't even know what is happening. They can't link up what is going on with what God is doing. They can't understand and the realm of the physical. And the problem I've discovered is that once you are so into posting and reposting, you fall out of alignment. By the time you realize yourself, you don't know, you've lost grounds. It is not in the time of crisis that prayer is done. Prayer is done to prepare for crisis. That's why the generation of Noah started praying the day rain started falling. Noah, we will repent. Noah said no. I have been preaching it since. People will be busy with activity today. And because as a man of God, he would have opened it, God sent an angel to shut the ark. Just in case you are not ready, the day the crisis begins, that's why you've been misbehaving. Why many of your friends are misbehaving is that they have not been prepared. They are living life. This one will soon pass. Soon pass. Let me leave this thing. Let me leave it. If I say what is on my mind now, many of you will be afraid. I am not expecting anything to get better. I'm not expecting anything to get better. I am expecting, actually, let me tell you, there are more people are going to die. And if you are not careful, I don't want to say this thing, but you know, they say I'm a preacher many people don't like me because I don't know how to give medicine inside a bag. I don't know how to mold it inside a bag. I drop it on your mouth like that so that you appreciate that you took medicine. When I put it in ever, you thought you ate ever, not knowing the capacity of what you have just swallowed. So I can look at this guy and say, my friend, you're a fool. And meanwhile, he's a fool, but his annoyance now is that I called him a fool. But the reality is that he's a fool, and everybody here knows that he's a fool. But then we don't want to tell him, because how will he feel? I don't care how you feel. I am not called to make you feel happy. That's not my ministry. My ministry is not for you to be happy. I have a mandate and a commission, and part of it, when God was telling me, he did not mention that people have to be happy when everything is done. Make sure that people are happy. It wasn't part of the plan. So if people are not happy, I'm not aware. If people are happy, I'm not also aware. It just depends on you. I don't care how you feel. Because if Noah was not preaching righteousness, if he was preaching prosperity, the ark would have been full. If he was preaching marriage, the ark would have been full. He was preaching deliverance, enemies dying. The ark would have been full. The reason the ark was empty is that the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. People don't like to hear the truth, because we are living in a generation that is committed to bury the truth. So anybody saying it is an enemy. It is because you have chosen righteousness that you become an enemy. That will be the reason you will suffer many persecution. And because you don't have capacity for persecution, that's why you are running away from the truth. You can't uphold it because you fear persecution, simply because you have not been submitted to discipleship. All you are looking for is popularity. All we are looking for. That's why we have multiplied souls in the body of Christ. Now and then, there are pastors that are sleeping with people's wives. There are pastors that don't understand what is going on. There are pastors that are just, they have been commissioned, anointed, you know, they are there. They are telling people that God is just. God cannot send anybody to hell. God is not, you know, like one guy that was starting me off, he doesn't believe in the doctrine of hellfire. How can anybody go to hell? I say, do you realize that the reason God forgave you is because there was blood? Do you realize that God demanded for blood in order to forgive you? Just in case you think he decided to change his mind about you for nothing, you better read that he demanded there must be a price for your sin. It's on the account of the blood of Jesus that you enjoy grace. So don't think that's why when you say love is God, you are wrong. God is love. God is just. God is many things, including love. Love is one of the nature of God. Love is not God. Because if love is God, he will just change his mind. He will not need any sacrifice for your sin. The reason there is a price is because as a righteous God, it is injustice. You say that the wages of sin is death, and then somebody has just sinned. As a righteous judge called to represent the law, to uphold the law, I must make sure that the person that sinned will die. If because the person that sinned is my child, I decide to pervert the law and avert justice, then I am corrupt. Then Satan can stand and point God and say, you see, you too, you are corrupt. That guy sinned, and there was no price for his sin. Because because you are God, decided to forgive him just like that. So because God is also righteous, apart from being love, he's also righteous. And because, and if you watch the foundation of his throne, he's sitting on righteousness and justice. There's no love there. So it means that in God's operating system, righteousness and judgment. There's righteousness and judgment. He is righteous because he can't allow a sinner to go scot-free. He's also righteous. He's also just because he cannot allow a redeemed sinner to pay for his sin again. Should I say it again? Eh? He is righteous because he cannot allow a sinner to go free without paying for his sin. That's righteousness. You uphold the truth. You uphold the law. You don't violate the standards. You're always up to date with the standard. It can never come from you. He is just. Because since Jesus has paid for your sins, it is injustice for you to pay a second time. So God is just in justifying the sinner. Because Jesus has paid. And that's the balance. So in case somebody told you that it is because of your sin that you are having this one, it's because of your sin that you will fail in school, it's because of your sin that this one, it's because of your sin. In case somebody is telling you that there is no yet solution for your sin, he is taming God injustice. Because if Jesus had died for your sin, then it's injustice for you to be suffering for that same sin. Two people cannot pay for one sin. That is not my message. I don't even know how I got here. How did I get here? Let me move. So we establish one thing. And today, the people that are pioneering the kingdom, they are growing stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And the people that are in the old order, they are growing weaker and weaker. Because any small thing, churches will close, programs will be suspended. And some Christians depend on church service to survive. And now that church has been closed, their spiritual life begins to leak, begins to, they don't have access to their pastor. They don't have access, so Satan decides to visit now. They don't have any capacity to handle. So let's go to a second scripture. First Samuel chapter 13.
When you are here, is this thing working?
Go to verse 5. Okay, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. Verse 6. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, that is, they were already surrounded, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves, in rocks, and in high places, and in pits. Go up, and some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him. What? Let me make a few points from this scripture. Pastor, welcome, sir. A few points. Listen, I see some people having heavy eyes to sleep. Meanwhile, if you find them, move them to the back. So, find mat. I hope we made arrangement for mat. Let them sleep. Okay? Let them sleep. Meanwhile, while there was a battle in-house, it is that time that the church is divided.
that the Philistines come against them. If the church is united, the Antichrist will find it difficult to emerge. Very difficult. So, the Antichrist emergence is contingent upon the division in the church. And that is why the Bible says there will be a great falling away. That great falling away is needed in the program. One of these days, we'll do, take that lady behind. Fast. My friend, take her back. Yes, yes, yes. Just calm down and follow them to avoid embarrassment. Calm down. Camera shift to my head. Thank you. Don't sleep. Let's leave it. So, as I was saying, there will be a great falling away. And then, in that great falling away, this falling away is falling away of believers. That's part of what I've been explaining. But there's something in that scripture. Is that at that time there was war between David and Saul. David was representing the kingdom of God and Saul was representing the Pentecostal movement. And even though Saul was big in his Pentecostal whatever, he was still weak. And even though David was a small boy that knew the current program of God and was running with it, he was strong. I don't need to have millions. I'm a strong man. I'm a force to reckon with. I don't need to have many church members, few stadiums. I don't need that. And that one too is good. Me, I want it too. I'm not saying it's bad though. I also want to have people feel stadium, but I don't want them to be babies, children, filling stadium, waiting for Baba. It is only when Saul shows up to the battleground. If we press deeper, you see, it's only when Saul and his son Jonathan shows up in the battleground that the people of Israel can engage, because they are the only ones that had a sword. The whole armies of Israel did not have a sword. Bube, where is that scripture? I can't get that scripture now. You see, the whole armies of Israel, none of them had sword, because the Philistines had taken time to confiscate all their weaponry. And then only the pastor and his ministers had something to engage the devil with. Those millions gathered, they did not have anything. So, but David, when he came, he decided that everybody should have one. Everybody should have a son. He decided to disciple people. David started with discipleship. He said, "You, my friend, you, as you are doing ushering, hold one sword. If Satan comes from the ushering department, you strike him. Don't call me. He comes to this one. Me, as you are doing choir, hold a sword." He armed everybody. He said, the new thing that God is doing, every man will be a soldier. There is no man that will be following a soldier, waiting for somebody to guard his head. No, he's a kingdom of lions. There's the hell lion, but there are other lions. So, it's not that we are removing the leadership structure. There's still a leader. That's the hell lion. But the one behind him is not a less lion. That's the new order. Your problem now is that you want me to defend you as a lion while you remain a dog. And I say, no, I can't work with dogs. That's the problem I have. If you are not a lion, get out. I'm not looking for members. They presented Christianity as, and they are begging you, come to church now. I will give you lunch for coming. We'll give you. Don't come! When the chips are down, you will come. Come to church and find God. Be serious with God. Don't come thinking you are coming to act. Don't come. A time is coming when the only place you can go is church. And God bless you if your father in the Lord is Saul, the man that God has left. On that day, you will be found following him, trembling. That's why many people are afraid. They don't have capacity. They are following Saul. Meanwhile, the guys of David, they don't have fear. Crisis is hitting the world. They are There is no fear in them.
Those ones following you saw trembling.
Ask your neighbor, are you afraid? Are you afraid of the happenings?
Let's check who you are following. Who are you following? Your father, King Saul, or boy David, you know where he's still a boy. Eh? Pastor David is still a boy compared to the big men. Eh? But in the scheme of things, we can see who are the men. Eh? But there's another thing there. So the enemy uses the opportunity of division. That's why there must be division in the body. And if you notice now, the new breed that are coming up, they are finding a way to unite. A level of unity that has not existed before among men of God is going on now. Many people are not seeing. That's the problem. They are just on social media, running their mouths, flying everything, shouting, saying things that we have said for 20 years that never worked. How many times does Buhari or Nigerian government come to read your status? So those things they are saying. That's what your parents said. It didn't help the situation. Why are you saying the same thing? All those your WhatsApp status, how what has changed? Can't you see you are being foolish? I don't want to call you a fool. Can't you see you are being foolish? Instead of you to discern, what else should we do? Let me run. There is something that happened in verse, which is what I want to show. Eh? When you have people that don't have capacity, please, can you bring it back? Can you bring back the scripture? Verse. There's something that happened in verse 6. When the men of Israel saw that they were surrounded, they were already ambushed. Eh? Then people began to hide themselves in caves. They began to dodge. They began to hide. Just like what many people are doing now. Began to enter pits. Hide in their house. You are not part of the protest. You are not part of the prayer. You are not part of anything. You are hiding somewhere, posting. Hey, we'll see, they have killed somebody here. Hey, will they have killed here? See, oh, they have burned here. Eh? That's what many Christians are doing now. It's not funny. They're hiding in tickets, hiding. They don't have anything except to hide. And the day the ultimate Goliath will come, the Antichrist, you'll find many people that will hide. But there is something else that happened. Eh? In verse 7. There's something else that happened. In verse 7. He said, move fast. Whoever is moving it. He said that some of the Hebrews, so some of the guys in church, they went over to join the Philistines. And the man and his people that were following him, were trembling. This is what you find now. This is where you find people like Daddy Freeze. They now go over. Their problem is that they have not been discipled. So when the chips are down, instead of fighting the enemy, they now go over and join the enemy and start fighting the church. If you don't have capacity, on the day when jungle mature, you will correct the mic because you correct the mark. Because that day, the prophets that will arise will be saying, what's there with the mark? What is the thing with the mark? Correct that thing, Joy. It's not your body. Your spirit is not receiving any mark. Correct it on your body. Your body will go to the dust. And Jesus said you should be aware of those people because they will arise. Yeah, they will come up. And just in case you are thinking you will fly away before the issuing of marks begin, eh? Let me bust your bubbles that there will be no flight. And there will be no flight. The flight system is going to resume after the Antichrist is done. Uh-huh. So, that time, the airports will not be working, including the spiritual airports. Philips Airline and all the one, Elijah Airline, everyone will be shut down. We are all going to be here. If you don't have what it takes to stand the time, you are going to die here. Stop thinking you are flying. No. I can go through the prophecy of Jesus and follow the order. Jesus said, it is for the sake of the elect that those days will be shortened. You can follow the program. And after listing, the man of sin will arise and all that. He said, then Somebody say, then the signs will appear in the sky. It is after. You go to the prophecy of Paul. We follow the order. It is after. We go to Daniel. We follow the order. It is after. Where did you get that it is before? It is movie. Movies that were sponsored by people who did not read their Bible. They are doing gospel movie without studying the Bible. That's the kind of Christianity we have modeled. And so when they represent Bible story, you can see gaps. I was victim of that error for years until I started reading the Bible. Somebody, start reading your Bible. Start reading your Bible. When you listen, you read your Bible. Okay, this is where I will stop. Because I'm seeing that my time is already going over. There are 10 principal actors in this whole scenario I've been explaining between David and Saul and the Philistine. Because of time, I will touch, if I'm able to touch 5, I will leave the other 5 for another session. I know you won't sleep again with this thing. You keep remembering this thing anytime sleep. But why are people sleeping? These are not the days to sleep. If you are out there on the street, I don't think it is a rare opportunity that somebody has mind to be holding program now. Hey, if you don't understand though, it is only God that will tell you to hold program now. You know, during the lockdown, we had a retreat. And then, I wanted to cancel the retreat because for me, I'm not tied to program. If it's revival, we'll cancel. I don't have, because my father, he does not take him time. We don't kill ourselves. If it's not that program does not hold, nothing will happen. If he means counseling program, I will be the first. I am not attached to anything. I'm not attached to anything. No. That's why when a sonship conference was getting, I told Timobi, if it comes to counseling, me, I don't have a problem. But if we must hold it, let's hold it. Me, I also don't have a problem. I'm not attached to anything. So, of course, in case you think why we are holding is because we did not consider canceling it, it's not true. When he asked me, I say, you see, on this matter, I don't have the wisdom to advise on this matter. Go and ask God. Go and ask God. Eh? Somebody has mind. It's only God. If God did not tell you, you cannot do this thing now. This thing now. We can't be doing this thing if God did not tell us. I'm telling you, we cannot. Don't allow me to digress again. Eh? There are 10 actors in this movie that is also beginning to play out in our time. Number one is Samuel. Samuel represents two things. First, he represents the Holy Spirit. The one that anointed Saul and the one that anointed David. Saul was not always a false prophet. He started as a genuine one because he was truly anointed by God. His problem is that when God began to pioneer a new order, he was not humble enough to follow through. He went out of alignment. And when he had stayed out of alignment for long, he fell into error. Your problem starts from going out of alignment. Then you now fall into error. Then you now fall into sin. See, that's the order. By the time you now fall into sin, if you are not redeemed long enough, you now fall into the enemy's side. That's why when people like Daddy Freeze talk, I don't answer. Many of you are there running your mouth. He should not have said this. Let me advise you in these last days, be calm. As things are flying, you keep quiet and be watching. Watch and pray. Just be watching. Observe. When you watch, you check. When you watch, you check. When you watch, you check. That's the pattern they follow. They first go out of alignment, then they go into error, then they go into sin, then they backslide and join the enemy. And they are not the ones that will be fighting you. They say, Ajay, why are you praying like this? Forget it, it's not by prayer. Forget it, it's not by a long prayer. Forget it, it's not by fasting. God hears anybody. It's not fasting. It's not by how many hours you pray. Before you tell somebody that it's not by how many hours you pray, make sure you have sustained the grace to pray for that number of hours. If somebody is saying, it's not by praying for 7 hours, make sure that you that is saying it, you have also prayed for 7 hours. And you have not realized that it's not by praying for 7 hours. Stop stalking because you lack capacity. Humble yourself and ask for wisdom. Ask for grace. Ask them, how did you get here? Help me. Help me. Somebody say, help me. The people need to humble themselves and stop talking. Humble yourself. Find out how. It's when I started going to minister. They call you here, you minister. Go here, you minister. That's when I started respecting because they do more. My respect has been there. It went higher. Because until you go and have 3 meetings in 1 weekend, then you will shut up. You will shut up. Different setting, different except you are a caravan. You are, what is it called? You are a moving train. You are moving with atmosphere. There's a word I'm looking for. You're a cargo. Eh? You're a cargo moving. That's the only way. And wherever you pitch, the presence of God will come down. Then you take off. You move. It is in those days that you find out that this presence of God you think you have has not really come. Because one day you will enter a meeting and you shout and they are just looking at you. And they are just wondering what you are saying. And then you decide to move in power. And then because you are doing it in revival home, and then you wave your hand like this first. Everybody is wondering, what did he just do? And then you decide that, okay, today we need to touch. We need to touch. You touch and you come back and pray. Eh? You know that you have not yet been called. That day you start doubting your coming. Are you sure they really called me? Because you came where prayer investment has been made. Everywhere is charging. And you are riding on whatever. And you are bombing. That day you go to, where is it? You will after doing it and stop. You will know that there is a difference between anointing and authority. It's when you go to the field, you appreciate authority. Because in those days, it's the level of authority that is your horn that speaks in territories. When you shout, the voice will strike a chord. And God will say, he's here. Don't worry. You think, what is this? Is it not just to preach? I have rhema. I have lost emphasis on rhema. Because if it's rhema, I have enough. Because on many occasions, I have shared rhema. That normally as I'm sharing now, you people are saying, oh, Kai, give me. But on those days, I shared the same rhema. And rather than getting the reaction, people were sleeping. There was nothing. That's when I knew head knowledge. No matter how much intellectual, how much you have built your intellect with the scripture, your intellectual endowment cannot translate to spiritual impartation. There are ministers that minister with words of wisdom, but there are ministers that minister with power. That's why Paul says, I don't come to talk to you with words of wisdom, with rhymes and whatever, and to make you feel good. That's why haven't you seen a lot of girls crying, feeling high during ministrations, and you can't see change in their life. Part of the reason I don't have followers is because if the moment you come around me, especially if sin does not exist. So some of my people that have been involved in this and that, they start hiding. Because the price of consecration is very high. Very, very high. So you don't, there is the presence of God that we call the cloud, pillar of cloud. There's the one that we call the pillar of fire. The pillar of fire, if the pillar of cloud can move even where sinners are. But the pillar of fire, when it moves, sin does not stay. Demons does not stay. That's why sometimes you come, you just say, Twah! And people start manifesting. It's the pillar of fire that convicts sinners even when you have not preached to them. It's a presence. It's on those days. Dennis is on those days. It's on those days that you will know. That you will know. That's why I used to be very, be doing it too. I'm not criticizing this thing now. No. I'm just telling you that that's where I started. I thought that was it. I used to ask my brother when I came back from youth service, if I carry prayer meeting, everybody will scatter. But now, I'm not sure I can do that. Burden has compressed. You give Pastor Mike now. I used to know Pastor. He's calm now. Yes, he's calm now. When he was, something was shifting. Okay, you see, time has gone. Number one is Samuel. I've told you what Samuel represents. Two things. One is that he represents the Holy Spirit that anoints. Number two, he represents the fathers in the faith that has labored. And they are now old. And they are about to go and join God. And the younger ones are not ready. People like Pastor Deboye. And many of them. These are men that have labored. Now, age has caught up with them. And they are about to transit. Because between now and 2030, a lot of them will go. And there's something about fathers going. Many of these fathers that are still around is what is stopping the level of things Satan has been trying to launch. You know, it was until Idahosa went that TB Joshua became popular. As long as Idahosa was here, his ministry was trampled. It is because a man left. That's why you can see somebody in Onitsha doing whatever he's doing. And many of you are posting and retweeting. It's comedy. But that is a slap on the church. This is a slap on the church. And we are all here praying. Nobody has capacity to withstand that thing and get that. It is a man that left for him to rise. The people we call guardians. These are specialized functionaries. They stay over the territory and the enemy cannot invade. That's why the Bible says, when men slept. See, an enemy had done this when men slept, when men died, when those fathers died. The enemy now came in and planted. Now these men are going and there's no replacement. Number two, actor is Saul. I said I will give you five because of time, and then I will round up. Time is almost up. So, Paul represents the ministers of God that were once anointed, but who have now lost the anointing. They still function under the anointing. When they still enter the midst of prophets, they will prophesy. They preach. The power of God can come down. They still hold open-air evangelism. People are here. They can still make cripple walk. They can still do 5 nights of glory, 10 nights of glory, and things will happen. They can do everything, and the power of God will move. Yet, God has rejected them. And because anointing is still working. In case you don't know how anointing works, just in case, I decide to take this lady now. Meanwhile, I'm married though. Eh? Just in case my relationship with this lady transpires to adultery, I can still stand here tomorrow. Eh? And I will preach this message and it will be hot. Eh? And I can decide to start in power. And even she will fall under power. That's how the anointing works. It's very deceitful, except you have the spirit of discernment to be able to discern. This man that is doing these signs and wonders, where is God still here? Because I've entered many places, there are signs, but God is not there. And my spirit bears witness that God is not here. Yet, there are signs. Don't follow signs. Jesus said this generation that follows after signs. I don't have time. I would have showed you how to identify false prophets that are moving in signs. They are false, but they have signs. There are things they cannot do without power. But I don't want to go there. So Saul represents those previously anointed generals. Those ones that came into the faith and they were anointed by Samuel. And now they've grown big. And they've gone out of alignment. They are no longer working with God. They have pioneered their own program. And their own program comes ahead of the program of God. And God has rejected them. The third group of people, the third actor in that is David. David represents the imagined remnants that are accurate and authentic in the agenda of God. These are the remnants, the remaining people who seems not to have a voice, but they are in alignment. God, that is, the anointing for the new thing is heavily upon them, but many of them are not yet talking. Many of them are not yet talking. They are in training school. They are in training school. And this group of people, they have to be mentored by Samuel. It's Samuel that mentors these ones. Many of them are in training school. They've been anointed, but they are not yet on the throne. The people that are still on the throne is Saul. But in that place they are still powerful. The fourth group of people, which I believe many people fall into, are the Jonathans. You are here. When you are here. When you are here. When you are here. Jonathan represents covenant brothers. Because at this time, one of the things that you can't attempt, I will show you, I told you the attempt. We will go in another session. One of the things you cannot attempt is to walk with somebody that is not a covenant person. That's one thing you should not do now. Ugochukwu, where is he? Stand up. He's not in this room. Don't ever think that you will get to any point and you will leave these brothers alone that has lived in tent with you. There is no other one that can be loyal like them. None. They are covenant people. Covenant brothers. That is what has helped me. I have gone ahead, but I know as long as my brother is behind me, I'm safe. Satan can use him again. I have tested and tested and tested and tested and confirmed. As long as Casey is behind me, I'm safe. I'm telling you, these are men I can live in my house with my wife and go, and I'm not afraid. Just in case, they are covenant brothers. That's what Jonathan represents. You can't afford to work with anybody that is still, they will kill you, they will betray you. Meanwhile, Jesus had 12 disciples. And 11 were from Galilee. One was from Judea, his brother. Eh? It is that one. Is that one. That is the problem of Jonathan here. Eh? Go, sit down. I was just using you as instance. And he's a point of contact to all of you. Uh-huh. That guy that lived with you, that's why I'm working with Papa. We have lived in the same house. We have been through things. Yes. A family house that time, we will come, stay. Then they were ahead of us, so we were the incomings. Yeah? So I have seen him. I have seen many things that should make me disrespect him. Because that's the problem with people. Once you start giving them access, they start thinking, is it not an evangelist that I saw in the room? What? I even saw him on his boxers. What is all this one he's saying? And then you stop writing where he's teaching. You are now measuring up with him. I know the day God will expose you is the day he will now send you. Go to Enugu. I have a program. And you go alone, no? You are not coming to pray on the mic. You are going to minister. That's the day your eye will clear. You know, it's not about seeing a man on boxers. There is something you are not seeing. But what I'm saying is, Jonathan represents a covenant brother. Cannot violate covenant. He can never, even though his father is the king, yet he is not the one that will give away David. His father knows that he knows where David is, but then he will not tell his father. His loyalty to David was superior to his loyalty to his father. Why? He knew that his father, even though he's still king, is no more relevant. He knew. But he had a problem. Sentiment. Family sentiment. Eh? Since you knew your father was no more in the scheme of things, why still stay with him? Even if you stay around him, why go to battle with him? If you knew, you should know he can never win another battle in the name of God. You should know. Why did you follow him to the battleground? Why were you sentimental? In this matter, there's no sentiment. I was telling my people that if I get an opportunity, for instance, to hand over a job or something that will empower somebody. I have a sister who is a lawyer, my younger sister, and who might need such opportunity. I said, I have an elder brother who will need it. I won't go for any of them. I will not. I will find a kingdom person who will use that opportunity to support me in the kingdom business. There's no sentiment. If my father does not like it, no wahala. All I will tell him is, if they have problems, let's give them money. If they need school fees, let's pay it. If they need to travel, let's pay it. Eh? Let's just find a way and support them. These guys are not in the kingdom. They are believers. So they are still doing Sunday service, doing this. They have not understood that the game has changed. They are still on the same platform. So I won't take sentiment in that matter. And the reason I am working with my brother is because we are working because of kingdom, not because of brother. Meanwhile, he's not my blood brother. In case you think, my blood brother is the person that was joined to me by blood. I hope you know. Me, I am A positive. My brother is O positive. So how are we blood brothers? Check your siblings. Many of you don't have the same blood group. You are not blood brothers. Your blood brother is the one that is linked with you on the account of the blood of Jesus. That's the one that comes first. It's because you are still sentimental. That's why you are taking these things. If your family member is not in the kingdom, leave them alone. Stop doing things with them. Stop opening up secrets to them. Stop identifying with them in their error. There's no sentiment about it. I don't care if you like it. Jesus did not say, he said, I came to put asunder. Mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, my business is not to unite. Because in the family system, there are different, everybody has their option. If you have not seen what is going on, and you don't believe what, because I'm still small. Because who is he to be talking? Sometimes they come and call me and say, see, oh, your dad is sick and all, you know, and all that. And I came and I say, we can end this matter here. But who am I? I am not the provincial pastor or whoever now that has voice. Meanwhile, those ones, they don't have, when they come, still. But let's leave that. But who are you now? Then when I now come up in ministry, and then I want to take a strategic step, I will now go to the that does not, because he's my sister, or because he's my brother, and I will now tell him, see what God is saying. Let me give you some secret. If your any of member of your family is not with you in the kingdom, stop giving them information. Stop from today. Be watching them. Anyone that is not in kingdom business, has not joined, stop releasing information to them. Just relate with them on the natural plane. Stop telling them your vision. Stop telling them your dreams. They don't have any value for it, because sometimes when you finish, they say all this nonsense. Yeah, this is your fasting. They don't believe in your fasting. They don't believe in your prayer. Those are not the ones you should identify with. There's something I would have said, but I don't want to dishonor some people. So I will not say it. That's why, for instance, yesterday, I did not need to consult anybody to travel. I knew it was unsafe to travel. But a typical Christian will tell you not to travel. He will not ask you why you are traveling. What's the program about? I already have a sense. And that's why I married the wife I married her. Because if some of these girls they were projecting for me, I would not come here yesterday. If it was some of those girls that are now on social media running this thing, there's my that pastor, I'm finished. I'm dead. If I married one of those people, meanwhile, they appear to be the one that had everything. No? They appear to be the one. They were JCCF presidents or vice. They were mamas, but they were empty. There is no substance. He saw that he's empty, but he has office. He has everything, but he's an empty man. The guy with substance has nothing. He's roaming about. Hey, Jonathan died because of sentiment. You knew David was the one. Fight with him. And never swore an oath. Yet, you are not discerning enough to know that on this matter, it is okay to allow your father. Because you know it's not correct. I will show you another person in this film that is a major threat, a major problem. But that will be tomorrow or later, anytime I have another opportunity. I've shown four people. One other person I've already mentioned is Goliath. That's the enemy without. And of course, the ultimate Goliath is coming. The Antichrist. And everything you are seeing is building up. I can open scripture and show you this crisis in scripture. This protest, I can show you now. There is nothing that has happened this year that is not in scripture. If you settle down, you will understand. I have studied the program and I know where we are. That's why I'm not bothered. Everything that Satan will do from now to the end of this age, I have the information. Why are you bothered about what Satan is doing? And they want to overthrow Trump. It's not my business. They want to, because I know one day move him apart, I know the next thing that will follow. Because there are three spirits in the book of Revelation. You also find them in the book of Daniel. Who are they? The one, the man of sin, the Antichrist, and he's a politician, one world government. There is the false prophet, the major false prophet. Who is he? I don't want to, but he's already here. Moving forward, the one world religion. Then there's the third spirit. That's the economist. That's the businessman moving for one world economy. Have you seen that these three things are going on now? African Union. Because on the day the Antichrist will rise, the world will be divided into 10. There will be 10 partitions in the world. And the Antichrist will emerge from one of them as the 11th head. You see that beast with 10 horns and the 11th small horn. He came out as if he's not powerful, shouting for one world peace, one world security, security for all, wealth for all, peace for all. That's his agenda. And he will be the first man to unite Israel and the Middle East. He will be the first one. And when he had done it successfully, they say, Kai, what American presidents could not do, this guy has done it. Everybody follow this one, including Christians. They are not informed. They will follow him, and then he will now come into power. As a small horn, he becomes the most dreadful. Let me announce to you that those 10 feet you see in the book of Daniel and those 10 heads have already formed. One of them is African Union. One of them is European Union. We have China. We have India. We have Southern America. We have the Middle East. I have the 10 of them. The world has been divided into 10, in case you are not aware. What Africa is doing now is to unite as one. One currency, one economy. Everything is going on. I'm not confused. I have all the information. What I am busy doing is finding out what is God doing now. What is God? Because that one has not been revealed. The strategy that God will use has not been revealed. What Joseph saw in the dream is what God was saying will happen. Did you discover that his interpretation, he did not see it in the dream? The strategy he gave them, the savings methodology, the savings system that he introduced. You say from now, 1/3 of all your harvest, stop. He didn't see that one in the dream. He took the spirit of wisdom to trap that one. It was not part of the prophecy. The solution to the end time prophecy. The Bible said, gross darkness will cover the earth. But for you, the light. How did he put it? In Isaiah chapter 60. For the glory of God will rise. There are people that will be protected by the glory of God. You can't touch them. You cannot. Daniel said that on that day, when many of the believers will backslide, Daniel 11 verse 30, when he started talking about how the Antichrist will come and there will be a great falling away, he said, but they that know their God shall be strong. So I'm not bothered about what Satan is doing. I already know. The scripture has given us. What you don't know, you don't want to bend down and study scripture. You are more interested in noise, distractions, analysis of what Satan is doing. Meanwhile, you don't know what God is doing. Invest your time and start finding out, okay, what does God want? How does God want us to be responding in the face of this? This is not the time to be analyzing what Satan is doing. Jesus has prophesied it. Daniel, spend your time and understand those things and then move on to other things. Stop studying the Antichrist. Stop praying against the Antichrist. Stop holding intercession. Stop holding intercession to stop end time prophecy. Stop. Why they are praying against end time prophecy so that they can continue church. Now everything that happened, if this thing continues, there will be no church on Sunday. And if you have not left church system, you will be trapped. This thing Satan is doing will continue to trap you till you understand that this system we have built for years has ended. And everything that happens in the world now, church will close. Anything that happens in the world now, church will close. There can't be crusades. There can't be gatherings like that. There can't be now they've closed down National Youth Summit. Many things will not go on again as expected. So what you should do is to position yourself to still function accurately, even if there is no gathering. You can't be depending on those services to have a Christian life. That's what I'm saying. If they hold, fine. If they don't hold, what happens to you? You are stranded. No, you can't be that kind of Christian. And the last person in this, the sixth person are the Philistines. These are the world, they represent the world system. This way, because my time is up. The Philistines represent the world system. These are the enemies of God, and they are the ones that set trap for the people. And part of the problem is that the souls,
part of their message is for you to embrace the world system. Part of what evangelist was saying yesterday. Somebody, your message at this time cannot be what it used to be. If you are a pastor to a generation that is about to be destroyed by flood, what are you going to be preaching to them? Are you going to be preaching to them to build more businesses? Meanwhile, God said that the flood is going to destroy everything. Are you going to be preaching to them? What will be your message? In the days of crisis, if you are not a preacher of righteousness, you are not a preacher at all. You are not. And very soon, God will shut your mouth. I want to prophesy to you. In these last days, you are laughing. You think, okay, I've not prophesied to you before. Meanwhile, I've been prophesying to you all this way. Just I have not said I want to prophesy. Now, I want to make it official. Many programs that were not ordered, that are not ordered after the kingdom in these last days, will start failing. In some of them, you'll see mic, we off. Service will mess up. I'm telling you what will happen. You see all this September to remember, November to remember, December to die, and all these things. You will see massive failure. Mark it. What? Just lift up your right hands and pray in the spirit. And just pray in the spirit. Respond, because I'm done. I will continue with this later. Part of the reason we came is so that you can have perspective. You cannot afford to be a Christian at this time without having understanding. You need understanding of the times. And you also need to know what Israel ought to do. Because you can't be in error. You cannot afford to be in error. You cannot afford to be confused now. You cannot afford to be misguided. You cannot afford to be aimless. These are the days of when accuracy is needed. These are the days you cannot operate without being accurate. The implication of operating carelessly can be death. If you are not accurate in these days, your life can go for it. Jonathan died carelessly because he did not know. Jonathan was not aware. He did not have information. He shouldn't have gone to that battlefield, but sentiment drove him there. These are not those days.
When you are here.
Somebody are not praying. Can I hear you pray in the spirit?